Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
This is a day that has been brought with much anticipation for myself. As I was reflecting on this Sunday, I had a lot of anxiety coming into today. As many of you already know from what you've heard either on Facebook or in the last few weeks and even today, Pastor Isaac mentioning it, this is my last time standing before you as the youth and worship pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. You know, as I was sitting there, I was going back and forth. It's kind of been a busy morning, and I just keep thinking, I was sitting there, and I know Pastor Isaac, him and I have talked about this before, how we do this. You know you're about to preach, you can't back out now. You sit there and you're thinking. I remember feeling the nerves and all this, and I realized that it's a good thing. It means that this mattered. And as I've been thinking about it, Pastor Isaac brought it to my attention that I'll be bringing the word today. We talked about this a couple months ago, and I just, for months now, I've been trying to ruminate in my mind, my thoughts, my heart posture, what I'm going to say to you as my last message. I think it's only appropriate, though, to first start by just sharing my highest levels of appreciation and gratitude for the love, grace, and patience that you've shown Maddie and I as we've taken on this highly honorable task of serving at Emmanuel as one of the pastors for the last 2.5 years. You know, I'm beyond thankful for this church and all of the opportunities to worship, to pray, to share the word with you all, and I'm thankful for you, the people. I'm thankful for your amazing love and generosity towards my family. And it's a joy that I don't just call you co-laborers in Christ, though you are, but that I can call you my brothers and sisters because you are more than just a friend. You are my family. And there's no doubt in my mind you always will be at some level. I really can't think of any other church in this area that is so well connected and kingdom-minded than Emmanuel Baptist Church. I've never been to a church like this one. And I don't think I ever will. So many people that I'm thankful for. Thankful for our IBC staff, Melissa Delgado working as our secretary. Shelley and Luke Noyd, where are you guys at? Hey, Luke. Wait, Luke's waving back. He can hear me, but I thankful for them as our children and now our interim youth that have been taking over the youth group. Thankful for Jeff and Joyce Ellis and Dorothy for cleaning our church every week as a highly honorable task, be the hands and feet of the ministry. Thankful for Megan Cayley, our treasurer, and for all those who serve on these different ministry teams. I'm just thankful for the different people who make Emmanuel Baptist operate the way that it does. I'm so thankful for these people who serve on these different committees and ministry teams. Your hard work does not go unnoticed, and I'm thankful for you. My gratitude cannot be expressed enough for all that you do that many may not have the opportunity to see firsthand. Just know that you are indeed seen and are appreciated beyond words. For our deacon body and all who work so hard to help Pastor Isaac and myself as the last few years and for years prior before I got here, and I know for years to come, these difficult decisions of the church cannot be made without your great wisdom and guidance. And you know, being in these different classrooms, it can feel like a war room sometimes with the things that we have to battle as a church. And I'm very thankful for your wisdom and leadership. For my youth group, can't even look at you right now. I'm so thankful for the love and grace that you show. Don't cry now. Come on. I got a whole lot more words to say after this. I'm thankful for the love and grace that you show upon me, even though I drive you to a Taco Bell that doesn't exist. And putting the gathering established 2019. I was not here in 2019. I made those sweatshirts. 2019, I don't know where that year came from. My bad. But my prayer for you all is that you will continue to seek after the Lord with all of your heart and lean on Him in all things. That you submit to His will daily and lay down your life for Him every moment. For when you make Jesus the firm foundation of your life, when the winds and waves come, that house that you stand on will never fall. To Pastor Isaac and Sarah. Oh my goodness, we're starting off strong, y'all. Oh boy. There are a few words that can express my highest levels of appreciation for your leadership, guidance, and love, and above all, friendship that you've shown Maddie and I. From picking us up in Cameron after we hit a deer on I-35 at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night before Isaac has to preach the next morning. What other pastor can do that? Come on now. To bringing us meals while we've been sick, you're both the embodiment of being the hands and feet for Christ. And Emmanuel is without a doubt the wealthiest church in this entire community because of your wisdom and surrender to the ministry of Christ. Isaac, I just pray that the Lord eventually equals out your preaching skills with your driving skills. I had to. I'm sorry, brother. I had to. I'll let that sit for a second. Sorry, brother. I love you. As much as I can go on and give thanks to each and every one of you sitting before me today, as there's many in this room, I can say thank you to. I would not be the man of Christ that I am today if it was not for you. And my family who's here today, thank you for believing in me. Probably a strange thing, my mom and dad being here, my grandparents who've seen me grow up, I bet they never thought they'd raise a preacher boy. Probably not. Preacher boy, what am I talking about? Ultimately, I want to say that although I am preaching my last sermon, this time is to give my final farewell. I want to remind you, church, that today, at the end of it, is not about me. It's not about Maddie. It's about Christ and what He is doing in this church. Earlier, Pastor Isaac was talking about the 7 baptisms. I had nothing to do with that. That was all God. At the end of the day, this day belongs to Him, and the words that I speak, I pray that it's not a tribute to the greatness of Trent Crawford, for I have nothing to give. But rather, this day belongs to the One who came and died to save me. I pray that the name of Jesus would be exalted today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 12 today. As you're turning there, let me pray over our time. Father, we pray that you would be honored and glorified through this time and this message. I pray that whatever earthly wisdom that I may provide would be forgotten, but that the wisdom that comes from you and your word will be cherished and remembered for an eternity. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this lost and dying world to save sinners such as I. This time indeed belongs to you and you alone. Be with us. Reveal yourself to us through your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. D.L. Moody once said, "Let God have your life, for He can do far more with it than you ever could." Just 2.5 years ago, I was wrestling with what to do next in my life. It was the end of May of 2021, and I had just finished an internship at the Campus House, a ministry at the university I had graduated from a year earlier, and the ministry I'd be returning to in a day's time. With no real plan in place, I decided to keep working my part-time job at Hy-Vee and wait to see what opportunities were available through the summer. As time went by, I realized that being a dairy clerk at the grocery store was not only consuming my energy, but my happiness as well. As I would wake up at 3:30 a.m. to get to my 4 a.m. shift, Those dark drives and cold mornings in a dairy cooler would get me thinking, is this all my life is going to be? Is this all I was called to be? A modern day milkman? My motivation and my patience continued to grow dim as I was beginning to lose hope in God's plan for me to be in the ministry. This thing I had felt called to just a year prior that felt so real, but yet seemed to be so far away at the same time. In early July, Maddie and I took a trip with her family to Florida, and on Independence Day of 2021, I made the greatest choice I have ever made by asking her to be my bride. Don't cry, Maddie. It's okay. Ironically enough, that same week, I also received an email from a campus pastor about an opportunity in a little town called Bethany for a youth and a worship pastor position at a church called Emmanuel Baptist Church. I remember telling Maddie about the email, but ultimately put it in the back pocket as we had other things we were thinking about at the time. Months went by, and my job at Highview continued to be more and more taxing. And around the month of August, I had a tug on my heart that I still can't fully explain, that I needed to change my scenery. And with full confidence and possibly a smidge of ignorance, I quit my job at Hy-Vee after 6 years with the company. I don't really know why. I didn't really know what was going to happen next. I didn't really have a plan B, but I just remembered that email that I got just a month prior, and I decided to see what that was all about, so I sent an email in asking about what the job was about. After a few phone calls, a handful of visits, and a candidacy later, this church took a chance on Maddie and I, two kids who had no idea what it meant to serve in such a capacity. We were so excited to get here and get started, but there was a few complications, if you will, with the move, things that we were a little bit anxious about, to say the least. Number one was, where am I going to live? I don't know if you've lived in Bethany long enough, but the rental situation's not too great. Number two, what was I going to do about my lease in Maryville? I had just signed one a couple months prior. I had a whole year to finish this lease. Number three, what was Maddie going to do when she finished school in December? Where was she going to live? We weren't married yet. We couldn't live together. What's that going to look like? So not only do we need to find one house, we need to find two. It's like trying to find a unicorn. And what about student teaching? Maddie, we were trying to figure out where she was going to be and what she was going to do for a job. Well, not only number one, finding a place to live, God found me a place in 3 days after I found my candidacy. What was I going to do about my lease? Well, by the generosity of this church, I was able to get that taken care of. Where was Maddie going to live? Well, he provided a house for Maddie too. In student teaching, what were we going to do about that? Well, South Harrison just so happened to have an opening, not just for student teaching, but for a full contract job. Friends, if God has a plan for your life, nothing is going to get in the way of it getting done. That is a testimony I will carry for the rest of my life, and it showed that this is where we were supposed to be for the last 2.5 years. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. Again, as D.L. Moody put it, let God have your life, for he can do far more with it than you ever could. In Romans 12, as the Apostle Paul was finishing his letter to the church in Rome, he gives some insight of what the Christian walk should look like and the great weight of giving your whole life to God. Look with me, if you would, in the passage today. It'll be on the screen as well in very small print, so you might have to squint. Romans 12, 1, and we're going to read the entire chapter. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone amongst you, not just to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving the one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. And the one who acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer and contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot of things to do, church. And so if I can break this down, I have at least three sections that I want to walk through piece by piece. And this is Paul writing to the church in Rome, but I believe that this has full relevance to you as a church today. And it would be such a joy to share what I think Emmanuel Baptist Church should do as we move forward. As I mentioned, there's three challenges that Paul gives the church in this text. First one that I want us to see is Paul says to submit willingly. Let's read verses 1 and 2 in chapter 12 one more time. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Let's pause there for just a second. As we see in this first part of the passage, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, therefore. This word, therefore, is a transitional word that Paul uses throughout his letter. And in fact, Paul uses it multiple times in the book of Romans, at least four times. As we look through the book of Romans, if you've never read the book of Romans, it's a fantastic book that just walks through the gospel, walks through what it looks like to be saved, to follow the Lord. We see the first, therefore, that Paul gives is in the very beginning part of Romans 3, which will be on the screen, or you can turn there. It says at Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. Again, the law is the law of Moses, multiple commandments that was given to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, right? Very hard law to follow. So that every mouth will be stopped and the whole world will be held accountable to God. In verse 20, in the NIV it says this, it doesn't say it in the ESV, but it says in the NIV, therefore, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Just like with understanding what the gospel is, we need to first understand that we are sinners. And this, therefore, is the therefore of condemnation, because we are all guilty of this thing called sin. And sin, as scriptures put it, brings forth death. And death is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Now, what is sin, you may ask, and hopefully you know by now. If you don't, this is breaking God's law. These statutes that God has put up with God's holiness, we cannot be that way because we have an inherited sin from Adam. We are all guilty as charged when it comes to the eyes of God because we have sin. That's the first step, is understanding the therefore of condemnation. We move on into Romans 5:1. God does not leave us in our sin. He doesn't leave us in this place. But he says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, that's the next part of the gospel right there. We understand that we are sinners, we break God's law, but God does not leave us there, for he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. We know that passage well. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross that we are justified. Therefore, we are justified by faith alone. And because of that justification, we have peace with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The second, therefore, of course, is justification. We move on to Romans 8, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture. It says in verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law may be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This therefore shows us the therefore of freedom. We understand we are sinners. We realize that we are justified in faith. And because we are justified in faith, we are now free from the bondage of sin. What an amazing thing that is. And as we see now in chapter 12, the therefore of Christian living. We had these, how the gospel works out. See, we don't just stop at being justified. Yes, Jesus saves us. He sets us free. But that's not the end, is it? Excited for Emma. Got baptized today. This is the start of her Christian walk. It didn't stop when God saved her. No, it's continuing on now. And for you as well. And that's where Paul's getting at in this letter. He presented the gospel. And now in chapter 12, he's saying, here's what you do with it. Here's how you live it. And church, here's my challenge to you. This is how you live it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Of course, we understand this idea of a sacrifice is an Old Testament concept, right? You bring a dead animal to the altar, you slit its throat, you bleed it out, right? This is an offering to God. Well, now this is talking about a living sacrifice. You know, I was listening to a pastor talk about this passage, and it's interesting thinking about it, talking about what a living sacrifice looks like. You know, when you put a dead sacrifice on the altar, it doesn't really go anywhere, does it? It's there to do its thing. But you think about us being a living sacrifice, what do living people like to do when they're uncomfortable, put on the altar to sacrifice themselves? Do you think they like to stay on that altar? They do not. That's the reality, is that we do not live as living sacrifices the way that we should. In a way, it's like we say, yes, Lord, I will serve you for all my days. Yes, God, you are my Lord. I will worship you. I will serve you all my life. And then sometime later, we seem to take that back, don't we? We jump off the altar and we run off. And then eventually we say, okay, Lord, yeah, sorry, you're right. I probably should live for you. Right? We go back and forth a lot, don't we? But Paul is talking about here is saying, I appeal to you, brothers, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. This is a laying down of oneself. This is what it looks like to be a Christian. To not just be a Christian by name, it's not just a badge that you put on that you take off when it's most convenient for you. No, you live it out each and every moment of your life. That's what a living sacrifice is. It's your spiritual worship. As I was thinking about this week, I was at children's camp. I slept probably 90% of yesterday away because I was just about worn down from it. We had some others who were here who were at children's camp. But man, what an amazing week it was. Throughout the worship, just seeing kids come and laying their all down at the altar. It's an amazing thing watching that. And I pray it's genuine. I really do. But the theme verse for this week that we had at camp was Luke 9, verse 23 through 25. Many of you probably know this one as well. Jesus said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in Romans 1. To be a living sacrifice to the living God means to lay down your life daily. To say, "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." To make the decision to be completely, deeply, sold out, sincerely abandoned. That's Benjamin Williams Hastings. That's not my words. But he said, sold out, sincerely abandoned to him, and to make purpose in your life. Your purpose, church, is to serve him each and every moment. Being a Christian is not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just a Sunday night thing. It's not just a badge that you put on. This is every breath that you take be poured out to the Lord. As Paul talks about also, this is a dying to yourself daily. This is putting on the full armor of God day by day. So powerful, as I said, seeing this week young boys and girls do just that. As Brother Rob Kennard, man, if you know Brother Rob, he is a fireball. He said to put your yes on the table. And that's what that looks like. As Paul continues in verse 2, we got a lot of chapter left to go, church. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world." He starts off by giving your bodies as a living sacrifice, but do not forget to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You must realize that following Jesus is without a doubt one of the most challenging and dangerous things you ever could do. It's not easy being a Christian. Being a disciple of Christ, it does not come without hardships. If you're living this Christian walk and things are easy for you, I pray that you reflect on your Christian walk even more. When you say, "I'm not going to follow the patterns of this world, but rather I'm going to follow the patterns of my Lord," you are without a doubt going to make some people upset. You're going to lose some friends. You're going to lose your own family. I think about being at Northwest, at the campus house, and not just the campus house, but a lot of ministries. There's a lot of international students who attend Northwest. A lot of students from India and countries like that who don't believe in the gospel. And it's amazing when you get to know some of these students. They're obviously, there's social differences, right, between the United States and India. And when they come over here, it's a little bit of a culture shock for them. It's a culture shock for us because we're just, you know, interacting with these students. It's a really interesting thing. But one of the things that is so amazing to me is just how willing they are to just leave everything at home behind. How willing they are to lay down their life for the sake of the gospel, even though it means mom and dad back home are not going to accept them. There's some students I know of who literally, they can't even go home anymore because their family has disowned them because they become Christian. That's the kind of faith that I want to see us have today. See, today in this society, we're so afraid to offend somebody. We're so afraid to step on toes, if you will. I struggle with that. There's times where I'm in situations where I'm like, ooh, should I say that? Ugh. But at the end of the day, our sole purpose is not to get the approval of man, but rather our sole purpose is to get the approval of God. And you know, Jesus even talks about this concept in Luke 14. This is what it really looks like to be a disciple of Christ. He says in Luke 14, 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Church, we're too comfortable. Can I say that? We are too comfortable as a church. We are so comfortable in these plush pews. We are called to be the hands and feet for Christ's ministry. That means getting up and going out these four walls. That means going and being the hands and feet for ministry. To put your yes on the table, like Brother Rob says. It's so interesting. And verse 33 even says this. This is even more intense. If he put all of his cards on the table, man, he really gets it on this one. In verse 33 of Luke 14. So therefore, anyone of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is what it looks like to have your bodies as a living sacrifice before the Lord. A bearing of one's cross. It's a trade-off of temporary comforts for eternal glory. It is a no to self and a yes to the Lord. This is what a Christian looks like in practice. Can you say that's what your life looks like, church? Pastor David Garland once said, the cross must be borne before the crown can be worn. And furthermore, another quote from the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, he says that there are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here on earth. So, we'll have to move quickly because we're almost out of time, but the first charge that Paul gives the church in Rome, and I echo to our church today, is submit willingly. It's the best thing you'll ever do with your life. Let your yes be yes. The second charge that the Apostle Paul gives and that I echo for our church today is to serve joyfully. To serve joyfully. In Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, it says, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Following the challenge of being less like the world and being more like Christ, Paul now turns his attention to the members of the church body and their role in serving. If I was to sum up that passage, if I was to sum up what I was going to say to you, because again, we're running out of time, you have a gift, church. I'm not just saying church, I'm saying you individually. Whether that's serving through music, I heard that they're trying to find another member to play a little electric guitar maybe. I don't know. I have to talk to Josh. If that's cooking, I heard that there's been a lot of potlucks as of late. I've missed almost all of them, which I'm really sad about. Right? Serving in that capacity. Pastor Isaac's been leading the Preachers Institute lately. What an honor it would be to stand up here and to proclaim to the church the truths of Christ and through his word. Church, for us to be what we are, you have to put your yes on the table even here. You need to live out your faith outside, but you need to encourage the church in here every week. You need to be here. And not only that, but you need to use the gifts given to you to edify, to lift up the bride of Christ. There's so many things. There's so many wheels. If you've seen, we had a business meeting last week or 2 weeks ago about the committees that you can serve on. Go look at that. See where you can serve. Put yourself in one of these spots. God does not just call you to sit in a pew and that be your life. For that to be your Christian walk. But not only that, notice how Paul talked about earlier, and this is something that I want to say to the church, because man, I've been thinking about this for a long time. And I don't know if this is something that you need to hear. This is something you need to hear. Look again, verse 3, for by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. We're all one body. What Paul is saying in this is that we need to be unified for us to work. And church, let me tell you, as with any church, there's going to be times where we're going to fight over very, very silly things that have no eternal significance. I've seen it. I've seen people leave because of things that offended them without even coming to Pastor Isaac or myself to talk about it. Do not be like that. Be willing to accept when you're wrong, or be willing to talk through the issue and come to a conclusion. You don't have to just be bitter and leave. If you have a disagreement with a brother and sister in Christ, go and talk to them about it in person. This has not happened at our church, I'm not saying this, but don't blast it on social media. Don't talk behind someone's back. That's not what we're called to be as Christians. I think sometimes we need to leave behind cowardice acts and be brave in what we believe. And we need to talk to our fellow brothers and sisters, because we have one goal in mind, and should be ultimate goal, is to make Christ known in this community. And how are we supposed to make Christ known in this community if our lights that we are shining are flickering? So number one, we submit willingly. We say, yes, Lord. Number two, we serve joyfully. We say, yes, Lord, with passion, and we be unified as a church. And lastly, we love endlessly. This is going to be a long passage. I'm going to read it quickly. It says, let love be genuine. This is verse 9. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor, and do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Continue to seek the needs of the saints and show them hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do you hear that part again? Live with harmony in one another. Do not be haughty. But associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you are heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If I was to summarize this entire passage, it's exactly this: love endlessly. 1 John says that we love others because he first loved us. Church, can I tell you, there's going to be times where it's going to be hard to love others, but realize that if they are in Christ, that God loves them, so you should love them too. That's a hard thing to do. Loving our enemies, those who are against us, praying for those who persecute. Man, we are coming up on a very dividing time in our country. Obviously, we all know what happened yesterday, but I think about the division in our nation. Our church needs to be unified now more than ever, and to be showing the love and grace of God, but still standing firm on the truths of Christ. Don't forget that. Our youth group, we wear a lot of bracelets. Any of you guys got the WWJD bracelets on today? What? Oh, come on. Some of you got those. What would Jesus do? There's an answer to that question that is in another bracelet that people wear. He would love first. My ultimate hope is that Emmanuel Baptist Church would follow after the heart of Christ by loving those who hate us, praying for those in need, and lifting up one another in great love. I pray that the Spirit of Christ would be so evident in those who call this church home that love and grace would always come first. To put things in perspective, this entire passage, Pastor Paul Washer said it greatly. He says, why would we want fame when God promises us glory? Why would we be seeking the wealth of the world when the wealth of heaven is ours? And why would we run for a crown that will perish with time when we are called to win a crown that is imperishable? Again, it would be my greatest joy for my last Sunday here to see one person make that decision to leave this, what this world has to offer, behind for the sake of Christ. Emmanuel, it's been a pleasure serving as one of your pastors. I just ask multiple things of you to finish. I'll ask the band to come up now, because I don't want to cut into our eating time, but you need to hear this. I pray four things, and I want you to hear them out. I pray through this church that God would be glorified, Christ will be magnified, His church to be sanctified, and lastly, His people to be justified. Pastor Vance Harvey once said, "A preacher should have the mind of a scholar, the heart of a child, and the hide of a rhinoceros. His biggest problem is how to toughen his hide without hardening his heart." What an experience it's been, toughening my hide while you, the people, have been softening my heart. I'm not going to cry. If you've not given your life to Christ, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation. If you need to make a decision, there'll be people up here to pray with you. Again, church, I thank you so much for all that you have done. Just know that as you've been praying for us, just know that we are praying for you in return. Josh, would you lead us in prayer?
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.